Welcome to Honey from the Rock, a podcast devoted to Bible exposition. My father, Jack Christensen, preached expositionally for over 50 years, first as a missionary to Pakistan and later as a pastor in New England. His legacy lives on in me. He often began his sermons with a little expression, and now a little honey from the rock, taken from Psalm 81, verse 16. The psalmist wrote, "I would feed you with the finest of the wheat, and with honey from the rock I would satisfy you." Today, more than ever, we need to feed our souls on the words of God in the Bible. The crying need of the church is for God-centered, word-explaining messages. So now, my friends, a little honey from the rock. In October 2023, attorney generals from 33 states filed a lawsuit in a California federal court against Meta, the parent company of Facebook and Instagram. The court complaint states, "Meta has harnessed powerful and unprecedented technologies to entice, engage, and ultimately ensnare youth and teens. Its motive is profit, and in seeking to maximize its financial gains, Meta has repeatedly misled the public about the substantial dangers of its social media platforms. It has concealed the ways in which these platforms exploit and manipulate its most vulnerable consumers, teenagers, and children." Meta's own internal research demonstrated in 2021 that the content was harmful to teenagers, particularly teen girls. One study revealed that 13.5% of teenage girls said Instagram made thoughts of suicide worse, and 17% of teen girls said that it made eating disorders worse. Words and images are powerful social influencers, but the real problem is not Facebook and Instagram. It is not Meta. They are simply using human nature to make money, which is bad enough. But the real problem is human nature itself. James has been castigating people who profess to be spiritual, who profess to be Christians. With their lips, they make this profession, but then they deny their faith by their lives. Now, James introduces our speech, our words, and images as a prime test of our faith. Most of us tend to think of ourselves as moral people. After all, we don't commit murder or rob banks. Yet sins of the tongue are considered minor by comparison. Our churches are filled with people on Sunday mornings who believe the Bible and who would not think of murdering someone, yet who assassinate people with their tongues every day. Just look at the Facebook posts of many Christians. There is something about social media that brings out the nastiness in us. Facebook taps our inner evil. We post things we would never say to someone face to face. We excuse the verbal abuse as a slip of the tongue. Or else we say, "I'm just telling it like it is." Or, "It's who I am and I'm just being real." Well, James calls it sin. In fact, James considers our harsh words to be a very serious sin because of the destructive power of our tongues. Our tongues are the most offensive weapon in our arsenals and must be controlled very carefully. James warns us that to be tongue-tested is to be tongue-tied. And there are four principles that James teaches us in James chapter 3 about the tongue. We see the preeminence, the power, the perversity, and the production of the tongue. First, let's examine the preeminence of the tongue in James 3, verses 1 and 2. James says, "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well." James tells us that the greatest test of our spirituality is not the sins of the flesh, but the temptations of the tongue. Since the tongue is such a powerful force for sin, you are a mature or perfect man if you can control the tongue. The tongue is the preeminent test of our spirituality, and James deals with the preeminence of the tongue in two different ways. We see the preeminence of the tongue for instruction, verse 1. James begins not by pointing the finger at others, but by starting with the ministry of teachers. Notice that he includes himself in this category by using the pronoun we teachers. He hits the preachers and the teachers, first of all, with a sober warning. If you are going to talk about the tongue, start with the preachers. The Greek construction used here suggests that many are to stop becoming teachers. James implies that it was a common practice for many to aspire to teaching positions in the church. The teacher, or rabbi, was highly esteemed in Jewish circles. Becoming a rabbi was like becoming a doctor today. Everyone wanted their boys to grow up to be rabbis. It was also a highly visible and influential position, and we all like visible positions. We like positions of influence. Teachers use their tongues to influence others, and the result is that people respect teachers. Apparently, many claim to be teachers because they wanted status in society. James warns us, the teachers will receive greater judgment from the Lord. The word does not necessarily imply condemnation. It's actually a neutral term. The judgment could be good or bad, positive or negative. There is a spiritual principle here. The greater the influence, the greater the knowledge and responsibility, the greater the judgment. Teachers have a great influence on people, and that leads to a great responsibility before God. Greater responsibility leads to greater judgment. Words have power. Words start wars and end wars. Words lead movements of people for good or bad. Words have influence. Twitter, now called X, is a highly influential platform for influencing people with words. Each tweet can have 280 characters, but these tweets move nations and win elections. Tom Fletcher, one of the most respected experts on digital diplomacy, believes that it is only a matter of time before we will see a war started by a tweet. Social influencers use these 280 characters to attract huge numbers of followers. Elon Musk has 140 million who read his tweets. Barack Obama has 132 million followers, and Justin Bieber has 112 million. Those were the top three in 2023. Just words, but words have power. Our words as teachers and preachers have power. But with the power to influence others comes the scrutiny of God's greater judgment. The preeminence of the tongue can be used for good. But we also see in verse 2 the preeminence of the tongue for iniquity. For iniquity, sin. James broadens his reasoning to include all of us, not just teachers or preachers. He writes, "We all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man." The word translated as stumble means to sin. Look, we are all prone to sin, and in particular, we are all prone to sin with our tongues. If we can avoid sinning with our words, we are perfect men. The word translated as perfect does not mean without failure, as if any of us could ever be without failure. We all will sin with the tongue. The word means mature or complete. Do you want to be a complete man? Control your tongue. By the way, James uses the Greek word for man, which refers not to mankind or humanity generically, but he uses a word that refers to males specifically. He is not talking about humanity here, but about the male gender. He probably does that because in his culture, only the males were allowed to be teachers. However, we can say that James does not subscribe to the female stereotype that women are the chief offenders with the tongue. No way, they are not. Men are the chief offenders with the tongue in this verse. The point here is that we are all prone to sin with our words, and sins of the tongue become major problems because of their influence. My friends, we should all think twice before we speak, because it is one thing to be held accountable by God for our own sins, but it is quite another thing to be held accountable for leading other people to sin. My sins are compounded when others sin because of my words. God does not take sins of the tongue lightly. Now let's examine the power of the tongue in verses 3 to 5. Now, if we put the bits into the horses' mouths so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, they're still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Over the last 15 years, people have used social media to fuel political movements and social unrest all over the world. One writer put it this way: as the power of social media influence grew, so did the awareness of its influence and how to use it. Today, it has become the weapon of choice for power brokers around the world who realize the effect it has on changing human behavior. Throughout the ages, communication tools have been used to wield power and garner support. From the time when books were used to influence reason and attitudes, to when Hitler used films to make millions of Germans follow him around like a shepherd. Whereas books, film, radio or TV have a regional effect, social media influence is global. It took years in the case of books or months in the case of TV to influence or ingrain a thought. On social media, it happens in hours and sometimes in minutes. It is the power of the tongue, words, to influence people, like a bit in a horse's mouth or a rudder on a ship. James tells us in these verses that the one who controls the tongue has a right to be called a complete or mature human, because the one who controls the tongue controls the most powerful member of the body. The tongue is powerful, all out of proportion to its size. It is exceedingly influential and even boasts of its great power. Although it's a tiny and seemingly insignificant member of the human body, we see the power of the tongue to turn in verses 3 and 4. And James uses two illustrations of the tongue's influence. The power of a small thing to influence a big thing is seen in the bit and the rudder. The bit, of course, is a small piece of metal in a horse's mouth that is controlled by the reins in the hands of a rider. In fact, the Greek word could refer to the whole bridle that the rider used to control the horse. Ancient ships usually had a single oar-like tool in the stern of the boat that was used to turn the whole ship. Some sailing ships had two oars on either side, which the helmsman used to steer the ship. The point is, not just that the tongue steers our lives, but that the rider or helmsman is often not in control. Our lives and the lives of others are greatly influenced by our tongues. We can see that happen all the time. The real issue is control. Who controls the tongue is the big question. If the tongue controls the world, who controls the tongue? Just as a rider controls the bridle and the helmsman controls the rudder, we must control the tongue. We must understand the power of the tongue to turn in verses 3 and 4. And we must understand the power of the tongue to boast in verse 5. James writes, "The tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things." The tongue not only exerts a deadly influence in the wrong hands, but it boasts about that power to everyone around it. Someone has said that cats are not the only creatures who can lick themselves with their tongues. Humans are pretty good at it as well. We talk about our exploits. We promote our successes. We want everyone to know how smart we are, how clever we are, how much we have accomplished, and the importance of our positions and our achievements in life. After all, nobody wants to be a loser. We boast about our ability to put people in their place or set the record straight. We say, "I let him have it with both barrels." Or, "I really set her straight about a few things," as if this was something to be proud about. We celebrate the Facebook memes that insult those who are not part of our tribe and rage against the memes that ridicule our tribe. Political leaders hurl insults and call people names, and we love it, as long as it is about the other side. That, my friends, is the terrible power of the tongue. It is powerful, and it knows it. Now, let's look at the perversity of the tongue in verses 5 and 6. James writes, "See, how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire." And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. James continues his discussion of the tongue, but now he moves away from its influence to stress the disastrous results that the tongue has upon people. The emphasis of these verses is on how far-reaching the effects of the tongue are in human experience. We see the perversity of the tongue to consume. We've already seen how the tongue can control people, but now we see how the tongue can consume people. Proverbs 18:21 said, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Death and life. Our words can be death-dealing or life-giving, and the choice is our choice. The technical or grammatical structure of these verses in James is very difficult, so our translations will vary in their punctuation. Remember that there were no periods, commas, or quotation marks in the original Greek manuscripts. Modern editors add punctuation to make it understandable for us. However, the gist of what James is saying is clear, and the variations in translation do not alter the meaning very much. The tongue is like a fire. It just takes a small spark to consume a whole forest in flames. Just so, it only takes a little tongue to inflame, ignite, provoke, and consume everything and everyone around it. It is a world of iniquity. The tongue is a microcosm of all the evil in the world. The Middle East erupted into a conflagration this past year, but the words people shouted were the tinderbox for the war. The Middle East is at war as much because of the power of words to inflame passions as because of the actual evil acts of Hamas. Hamas had been hurling insults at Israel and calling for the annihilation of the Jewish state for years. The October 7 attack on Israel unleashed the fury of the words shouted for years. And the barbaric beheading of children and the murder of babies were the outworking of the tongue. The world erupts into war because of the perversity of the tongue. On a more basic level, we can see this at work at home. There is the salesman who politely deals with people's needs and quirks all day long without a nasty or unkind comment. He endures the insults of his boss without retort. But he arrives home and within 5 minutes snarls at the kids, criticizes his wife, and slams the door. Within a few minutes, the entire family is consumed by the perversity of the tongue. A happy family becomes an angry family, all by the perversity of the tongue. That is the perversity of the tongue to consume. But we can also see the perversity of the tongue to contaminate. In verse 6, James tells us that the tongue defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. The tongue pollutes or contaminates us with evil. It is placed among our bodily members like a moral cancer, eating away at our very beings every time we abuse it. How? How does the tongue contaminate us? Well, first, the tongue contaminates us by inflaming the course of our lives. The word translated as course literally means a wheel. My life is like a wheel with spokes on it. The hub of the wheel is my tongue, which sets on fire the entire wheel and everything the wheel touches as it rolls along through life, destroying everything around it. The sparks from the wheel of my life ignite forest fires around me. Sparks from a faulty electric transmission line ignited a fire in Northern California on November 8, 2018. It was known as the Camp Fire. It was the deadliest and most destructive fire in the history of California. The firestorm utterly destroyed the towns of Paradise and Concow. In 4 hours, the wildfire consumed 150,000 acres and 18,000 buildings and took 85 lives in 4 hours. At the worst of the fire, 5,596 firefighters battled this one blaze. It was all because of an electrical spark traveling along a transmission line. Well, that's what our tongues do. Our tongues ignite a firestorm in the lives of those around us. And second, the tongue contaminates because it is being influenced by hell. The word Gehenna, or hell, referred to a valley outside the southwest walls of Jerusalem, the Valley of Hinnom. It was actually called the Valley of the Sons of Hinnom, and it was used in ancient Israel as a place of child sacrifice. Later, it became a garbage dump for the city of Jerusalem, and fires were continually burning in the Valley of Hinnom 24/7. For that reason, it became the symbol of hell, the abode of the devil and his demons, consumed by fire, and consuming everything by fire. Someone has said, the fires of Pentecost will not rest where the fires of Gehenna are working. When we destroy people with our tongues, the fires of hell are at work in and through us. That is serious business, my friends. God does not take lightly the firestorms our tongues ignite. Finally, we come to the production of the tongue in verses 7 through 12. James writes, "For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea, is tamed, and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh?" James talks about the inconsistent results of the tongue in human life. The production of the tongue is wild, wacky, and weird. The production of the tongue is wild. The tongue is wilder, James says, than any species of animal on earth. It is an untamable and uncontrollable force of evil in this world. Humans have been able to achieve much in this world, yet the tongue continues to produce its deadly poison among humanity. Today, we talk about living in a global village with instantaneous communication available around the world. The three leading social media platforms today are Facebook, YouTube, and WhatsApp. Facebook has over 3 billion users, YouTube has 2.4 billion, and WhatsApp has 2 billion users. We can send messages virtually anywhere in a moment, but we still see just as much hatred, evil, corruption, and destruction as there ever has been in our world. My friends, humanity is incapable of fixing our sin problems, including the tongue. It is untamable. Only God can tame the tongue. Jesus Christ pointed out that what is impossible with humans is possible with God, Luke 18:27. So the world must turn to God if our moral problems are ever to be fixed. We need Jesus to change our hearts by his grace. We cannot control even our tongues, but God can. And he is the secret to living a complete Christian life, to achieving victory over the tongue because of the power that he enables in our lives. The production of the tongue is wild, and the production of the tongue is wacky, verses 9 and 10. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God, the one we're blessing. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. How can the same mouth produce both beauty and ugliness? How can the same tongue produce blessing and cursing? Why is the same person both nice and nasty? A person can go to church on Sunday and worship God with great passion. He or she can sing hymns of praise to God and compliment other Christians around him or her. Yet by the time he gets to the end of the driveway, that same mouth is cursing the driver who cut him off in the parking lot. These are people made in the image of God, whom we're blessing in worship. And our words must respect them as fellow image bearers. We can bless God in church and insult others at work. We can praise God in the sanctuary while slicing and dicing our kids on the way home from church. That is wacky, my friends. It makes no sense. Yet that is the reality of humanity, of human nature. The production of the tongue is wild. It is wacky, and it is weird. Weird. Verses 10 and 12, 10 through 12. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. Nature teaches us a basic principle of life. The fruit demonstrates the source. We don't look at an apple and conclude it came from a grapevine. The point is that your outer fruit demonstrates the inner source of your life. As a general rule, what you say demonstrates who you are. If you are a Christian, the source of your life is Christ. The words you speak should reflect him. If they do not, then they are not from Christ, and you are not who you say you are in that moment of time. It is weird, both in nature and in church, to see the tongue produce two different sets of fruit. Yet we seem to regard this as normal, as minor. We praise people for being very pious and devout in one breath, but when they curse like sailors, we call them colorful. My friends, it's a contradiction in terms to be devoutly faithful to God while cursing God's creation. When we become Christians, Christ makes us new creatures, new creations in him. He calls us to reflect him as the source of our words. Now, we can't do it on our own, but in Christ's power, we are able to speak as Christ would speak. What we say demonstrates who we are. We cannot claim to be Christ's followers and viciously attack gays and lesbians with our mouths. They deserve to be treated with respect as people who are also made in the image of God. How we talk demonstrate whose we are. My friends, to be tongue-tested is to be tongue-tied. We need to control and subdue this powerful weapon called the tongue. We can only do that by the power of Christ operating in our lives, asking him to help us do it. But because of what he did for us, we can do it for him. James has talked about the preeminence of the tongue, the power of the tongue, the perversity of the tongue, and the production of the tongue. There is only one person who ever lived who never made a slip of the tongue, and his name is Jesus. The battle with our tongues is not something we will ever be over in this life. It's a day-by-day battle against the tongue, much like an alcoholic has a day-by-day battle with his alcoholism. We will be tongue-tested every single day. Can we be tongue-tied by the power of Christ? Facebook will test us. In November 2017, the part owner of the Golden State Warriors gave a talk at the Stanford Graduate School of Business. He had worked for Facebook from 2007 to 2011, ending up as the vice president for user growth at Facebook. And he said, "It literally is at a point now where I think we have created tools that are ripping apart the social fabric of how society works. That is truly where we are. The short-term dopamine-driven feedback loops that we have created are destroying how society works. No civil discourse, no cooperation, misinformation, mistruth. And it's not an American problem. This is not about Russian ads. This is a global problem." Friends, when we are tongue-tested, will we be tongue-tied? Let me suggest a little three-step procedure that will help to tie our tongues. Think first. Think first. Pray second. Speak last. You will be surprised what a difference it makes if you follow these three simple steps to control your tongue. God will help you tie your tongues.